Well, Father, how we thank you for bringing us to such a time like this. How we thank you for Steve Peterson, how he is discipling us, no doubt, through the teaching of your word, and how he lives that out faithfully. Father, we thank you for the many guys who are not in the room, but are through Zoom being a part of this time from the privacy of their own home. Father, we recognize your presence. And Lord, we know this, the times in which we live, pity the man who walks alone, because when he falls, he has no one to help him up. So, Father, we want to stand in the gap. May this be a pivotal time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're first, brother. So that was what, 5 years ago, the video? I was in my 20s, I know that. But Alex, you know, these years have just been incredible, seeing how the Lord has grown and matured you. So this thing of mentoring relationship, and if you can take perhaps a little more detail into the video and where you are today in your walk with Christ.
Happy to. Look back in that video, because it's 5 years ago, there's things maybe I wouldn't have said now that were said. But you just see how God has worked, and you get the benefit of hindsight. And I mentioned when I was 15, I had a very good friend named Luke Merck, still a very good friend to this day. His family were regular attendees at Apostles. I didn't grow up in a believing family. I didn't really know much about Jesus or God or anything spiritual or religious. But Luke and his family treated me differently. They loved each other in a way that was different from everything else I saw. And they invited me to come to church on Sundays. So I thought, cool, I get to hang out with Luke, you and your family. This is great. I mean, you all treat each other in a way that I can only hope maybe as I get older, you know, my life would start to look like that. So seeds were planted and sown when I was 15, 16, 17, coming to Apostles. I didn't even know the extent of it. And fast forward a bit into my 20s, living in a way that you would not have known there was even any head knowledge of Jesus. The fruit of how I was living was very much aligned to the popularity of the world. But I had people walk alongside me, Luke included, again, that didn't maybe even know there were mentors at the time, but just modeled Christ. And I remember back to the Merton family. And when I did some of that spiritual digging, there has to be more to life than waking up hungover on a Sunday or trapped in pornography, recognizing my own brokenness and by the grace of God and the mercy of God that my eyes were open to, this is not the way it should be. I started exploring those truths and started attending regularly here at Apostles, which eventually led to, I think, me actually believing. But along the way, I had people that modeled what it meant to be a believer. And then as I started growing, mature in my faith, became a member here. I mean, it was, before we even called it the Hub, it was Next Generation Men's Fraternity. Tuesday mornings, we met in the STS basement down there. I know a few of you were down there. Steve, you look a lot younger in the video there. There were mentors and disciples. Mike was a big one along the way. So I was on the receiving end from people that probably didn't even know they were mentoring and discipling me. And now when I think of Colossians 1:28, that when Paul talks about his goal is presenting each person mature in Christ, I look back and I get to see what that looked like. And I have a desire to want to be on both ends, to be a Paul and a Timothy, right? To get to invest in other people's lives purely because I love Christ and I want to be able to share the good news and what he's done for me. And I recognize I still need to be exposed to people. And there's a lot of you in this room that have served. And, you on Zoom, it started a couple of years ago with a small group, but Drew Johnson and Stephen Hasner, I've gotten to get to know them quite well, them and their families, and they served as good friends, but mentors in a way as well. So I don't know if this served its purpose, but just an encouragement, right? That the more we do community with each other, I think one, we need to be, you know, let organically the friendships and relationships turn into discipleship and mentoring opportunities. But two, be intentional about it. No, we have to know that we need, I mean, you know, we probably hear from these guys, we know we need others to speak truth into our life and for us to be that light in somebody else's. And God uses that, especially with the confusion out there in the world. I mean, it's imperative. We have brothers and sisters in the faith, our families, wherever else that we know we can truly get a dose of the truth and do it in relation with other people.
All right, so for years now, you have been walking consistently, not flawlessly, but consistently with the Lord, okay? So you and Elise are now married, have children. Talk to the guys about being the spiritual leader of your home, mentoring Elise in many ways, and the impact of hosting small groups. You've opened your home. So your role as a discipler, as a mentor.
Well, I think it goes back to what I just mentioned. We have to know our scripture and our Bibles, and that shapes what we do and how we live. There's seasons for everything. I've got a 3.5-year-old, an almost 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. Our house is busy right now, so opening our home looks a little different, but we've gotten to know Dorian and Brandon and their families pretty well. We're actually in a guys group that meets once a month. So it's just looking for ways, in a way that is honoring to Christ, to live out our faith. And again, I don't think it's anything ultra revolutionary. It's just simply letting the word seep into our hearts and honestly asking God, what will you have for me, Lord? What does it look like? How can I be used by you? And then that turns into yes. You know, Elise and I have a lot of conversations as to what, you know, she pushes me and challenges me in a way that is such a blessing as my spouse. And the, you know, I think we take seriously the role as men, as the spiritual leaders within our homes and in raising children, if you have children. Even if you don't have children and, you know, you see that for yourself one day, I mean, the Lord will provide, but it's simply trusting God. And I think as I've learned to do that, yeah, there's been a lot of flaws along the way, but it's just been fun to get to take the anxiety and pressure off, knowing that he's in control. And in my family and our, and everything we've done with groups, I mean, we've had a few different small groups that don't always last, but some of the friendships and relationships have along the way, and I'm encouraged because guys like this, I hear what they're doing out in the world, and that's an encouragement to me and helps me in my faith journey as well.
So guys, we know this, the next generation is so important to where Apostles is today and where it's going to be in the years to come. So as a result of God using Alex in different ways, he is now a member of the vestry here at the church. He is one of the key presenters on Wednesday night for a crash course in culture, equipping us to engage the culture. In terms of the influence that God has given you, number one, how is that contributing toward your further growth in Christ? And then last of all, how can we be praying for you?
Well, the first question, I think it's simply just being faithful in what God puts right in front of you. Simple as that, right? The Wednesday night thing, it was born kind of randomly with Drew Johnson was really the one that spearheaded and led it, and it just turned into, we want to teach some of the things we're doing in the Colson Fellows program. So I highly suggest, and I will endorse and give a little plug, Colson Fellows program, for anybody that, you know, you feel your heart being stirred of, Lord, what's next? How can I engage the world and culture around me for you? Man, check that out. But it's simply being faithful with what's right in front of us. Don't overthink it.
Just ask God. God, would you open doors? So being prayerful for doors to be opened. And then when those doors are open, right, just to do what's right in front of you. And that might mean just going and talk to a neighbor. Because I've, you know, there's plenty of that. And I think that's more of actually where God calls us. It's the Wednesday night thing. Having messy conversations with my family to be able to share some of that. But mostly it's having messy conversations with my family, with my neighbors, and just trying to be a light for Christ in a way that is authentic. And then maybe how you can pray for me is just that I would be faithful for what's in front of me, whatever that will look like with my family. We've got young children, so it's, you know, it's on Elise and I's heart on how we're raising our kids in a way that is honoring to God, you know, especially as now we're starting to think about schools and who our kids are starting to hang out with. Our oldest is getting little friends. She's almost 4. So I would appreciate just prayers. We're a little bit in survival mode at the time too with the kids, but how do we thrive and enjoy that process is important to us. But be faithful with whatever God puts right in front of us.
Y'all thank Alex, will you? So Dorian, life as a business owner, got a beautiful family, your wife, your children, our time together on Tuesday afternoons. Brother, those are very, very special times. And in terms of how God that so that you are living out your faith.
Kind of how our journey started. I tell you, man, I don't know about you guys, but I never felt the need for a mentor. You know, it wasn't something that was on my list of things that I needed to do. It was, I had close friends, one in particular, my best friend, that was an accountability partner for me. But not something more than, you know, hey, I need to go out and reach out to older men in my life that I can just, you know, grow with, confide in. And just and then just seek that discipleship, you know, it was something I felt like I could get from church. I felt like I could get from other areas, and honestly, another area that I looked at it was that it was my father, you know. But unfortunately, my father passed away when I was 21, and part of me looked to men that I saw as father figures, possibly that kind of reminded me of my father to maybe fill that role. But it was never something I really actually pursued. It wasn't until I was just telling Corey asked me how I got into a mentor relationship with you. It was about a year ago, man, and it was kind of at a point in my life, I don't want to say kind of, it was a point in my life where I was broken. I was broken in many ways. And I reached out to you, and it was one of those things, too, where, you know, I think sometimes as young men, and I'm young, almost 40 now, but I think that there's sometimes a hesitancy from young men to reach out to older men, not knowing if they're going to be able or willing to give of themselves, to give of their time, you know, to invest in something because, hey, I'm busy. You got to be busy. I remember the first thing I thought was I knew you had a relationship with Alex. I knew there was probably several other men within the congregation that you had a relationship with that you're mentoring. Like, how is Pastor Slaughter going to have time for me too, you know? And, but I was at a point of desperation where I just felt like, you know what? I need to reach out. I need someone that I can be fed by in a godly way to help me in this place that I was at spiritually and also in terms of my personal life, you know? And then from there, you know, thankfully you took me in and our relationship has grown from there. And it's been a tremendous journey over this past year. I can't believe it's only been a year, but in regards to just my growth as a believer, my growth as a husband and father, you know, I can say this: I've grown more spiritually in the last year than I probably have in the past 5 years combined, you know, and that's because of the direction that you have given me to then be able to just grow. It's manifested itself in my life, you know, to where I take that time that we have together, yes, that hour, a little bit more than that, but then I get to go home and I get to continue to just feed on it and build upon it in my daily life as well. You know, at work, with my time with the girls before they go to bed, and conversations that we have, you know, at the dinner table, it's just kind of spurred from there.
So, guys, his wife Angel is aware that we're going through the chronological Bible. And she's showing interest, you know, in this chronological Bible. So I had some extra copies of the chronological Bible. They weren't doing anybody any good sitting on my bookshelf. So she is now reading through the chronological Bible with her husband. What's that looking like, dude?
Yeah.
What kind of impact is that having at home?
Our evenings are different now. And I say that from the standpoint of that we would have devotion time, you know, together. But it was one of those things, again, selfishly, I need to have my time. And she need to have some personal time with God as well for herself. And, you know, and that might look different ways. Sometimes I'd be at the kitchen table. She'd be in the bedroom. You know, now, literally every night, as we get the girls to bed and we convene our evening and whatnot, you know, she's got a spot in our sitting room on the couch. I got a little desk in there, and we're both going through the daily Bible together, you know. and it's really cool just to be able to, you know, she was just even telling me yesterday a point where she had gotten in the daily Bible. She's a little bit behind, but there was like, she's like, oh my gosh, could you believe this part and this? And then like, I was like, yeah, what did you get from that? You know, and we started to be able to talk about those things and have these conversations, you know, together. So it was just this down the chain effect of where we get to have these conversations, we discuss things. It opens my eyes to new things within the Bible that I had not seen before, you know, and then now I get to have that discussion with my wife as well.
Wow.
And it goes down to my children too, you know, because those are some of those things where they're just not gonna notice right now that it's great conversation for my children to be able to give them on some of these little nuances that that, you know, tie the Old Testament and the New Testament together and give them this solid picture of our Father in heaven. So,
well, brother, before we hand it over to Brandon, how can we be praying for you?
You know, I think the opportunities that are in front of us as men, and for myself as well, you know, I think one of the things I thought about was how awesome it is that as I get that time with you and you get to pour into me the opportunity now that is available for me to then see other men in my life, other young men in my life that I can get to pour into as well. And kind of like Alex was saying, being aware of that, being in that moment to see that opportunity and be able to, you know, be prepared to say like, okay, this is a young man that I can see is looking for something, searching for something, and be able to take that chance, you know, to kind of, you know, step out with him as well. And whether they're a believer or non-believer, you know, or just someone that's searching, you can tell.
Yeah. Very
so,
good.
Just being prepared.
Guys, let's thank Dorian. Can we do that? All right, so Brandon is our quarterback. And
no pressure.
Go for it, brother.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you all this morning. My name is Brandon Gunter, and you know, a little bit of background on me and my family. I've gotten to know some of these guys a little bit, but a lot of the faces in the room here are new for me. Married to Kathleen for 11 years. We've got three children. Price, my son, is age 7. Lane, my daughter, is 5, and we have a 1-year-old. So also own a business with employees, which all this is code for I have tons of free time. like all of you guys. But all that to say, you know, we've been plugged in here at Church of the Apostles since 2016. My wife and I were part of a kind of a church plant on the south side of town, but we lived up here in Sandy Springs, and we were looking for something just geographically closer. You know, we had more than one good conversation that had escalated volume on the 40-minute drive to work or to church on Sundays. So we're like, we need to get something geographically closer. You guys have probably never had a fight on the way to church ever with your spouse. But so all that to say, we found Apostles and fell in love with it. And, you know, about 2 years ago, Mike approached me about getting involved with the ministry efforts here to be a part of. Mike, any length of time, you know, that he will find an assignment for you to be a part of. And so anyway, that was a great opportunity for me to get involved here. And then ultimately that led into a conversation about men's ministry. And so something I was just sharing with Mike, you know, that God had put on my heart, that I really feel like, you know, there is extraordinary value and could be strategic importance of just us going hardcore after the hearts of men in this church. If you really think about, you know, is there one area of ministry where we could concentrate effort that would produce a disproportionately large impact in the body of believers here at Apostles and also in our city? I think it's impacting the hearts of men. You know, we see what's going on in culture around us, you know, society, the trends, everything that we gripe about. You know, we kind of get here in our huddle and we're, you know, gripe about what's going on in the world around us. And so much of that is attributable to men not knowing how to be men. They don't know how to be men. They were never taught how to be men. They were never discipled into being a man of God, right? Which means, hey, what are you doing in your professional life? What are you doing in your family? What are you doing, you know, in your own personal ministry that the Lord's given to you, right? Ephesians tells us that God's prepared good works for all of us to do. So men not being men, I think, probably explains 80% or more of the problems we're dealing with in culture. And so just this idea emerged of what would happen if we could go headlong on helping men here at the church learn how to walk intimately with Jesus and really unpacking what does that mean, what does it look like, and how do we help men who are walking intimately with Jesus help other men walk intimately with Jesus. And something that was really impressed upon me when we got here to Apostles, you know, the only time I'd ever been here prior to us coming and attending in 2016 is they had 722 was kind of this college gathering led by Louis Giglio and some of the folks kind of out of the North Point world years and years ago. And they did a summer series 1 year where they met here at Church of the Apostles, and there was a series of teaching. And I just remember walking into this building, this facility. I'm like, oh my goodness, this place is amazing. But beyond that, I had had no exposure to the people of Apostles. And then when I got here, I started to realize just the really solid core group of believers that are here, mature believers, people that are one, you know, the meat, not the milk. You know, they're really, really deep and passionate in their walk with Jesus. So anyway, you know, it stirred up this conversation with Mike about men's ministry, and this vision was kind of born out of that conversation set of, hey, can we do something intentionally to help men walk intimately with Jesus? And, you know, because Mike was asking me, hey, what's been part of your journey? I'm relatively young, but I've gotten to walk with the Lord for quite some time, and I was thinking about that story. I did grow up in a Christian home. My mom was the spiritual leader of our household, not my dad. So I don't know if that, you know, follows suit with anything that you guys have ever seen around you, right? Once again, men not knowing how to be men spiritually. But my mom was a spiritual leader in our home, you know, always believed in God, always had a faith environment. You know, I would say I probably prayed the prayer of salvation when I was 6 or 7 with my mom. But really, things didn't start to activate till about the 6th grade. A buddy of mine invited me to come to a youth group trip in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I mean, it's like Panama City of Tennessee. We all know, we've been there. But it's also the church retreat capital of the world, right? So we had great, you know, retreat up there. And I didn't know what was going on, but I was with some fun friends. We had a good time. And there were some beautiful girls that talked to me. And I'm telling you, man, that was a draw. 6th grade, a little overweight. I was like, bring it. Pretty ladies talking to me, I'm there. So that, you know, that was sort of the first domino to fall, and I wound up being at the church every time the doors were open. Had a great youth leader, Ernie Forrester, who I'm still very close with. But really, it wasn't probably till my Smoker Eyes Baptist Church. You know, we're in a youth service. You know, they had the Smoker Eyes Baptist Church is where I grew up, but you had like the traditional service and like the modern service, right? You know. And so we were in one of those services, and man, at the end, the Holy Spirit just moved on me, and there was an altar call, and I walked the aisle, and, you know, I'm like, you know, walking down the aisle crying, ugly cry, you know, like, you know, we've all done the ugly cry. And I get down there, and Ernie meets me, and we say a prayer together, and that's when life change happened. You know, there was an activation at that point. I think I've said it in the past, it's kind of like I had the, you get like a new credit card in the mail, but it's still got the sticker on it. You have a call the number and activated it. Right, like, so I had the card in the wallet, but it wasn't until probably that age, you know, 12 to 14 when it really started to become real. And then that set off a chain reaction of events. I really started to, I didn't know this at the time, I couldn't have articulated it, but started trying to spend time with God and just be in his presence. You know, so starting, you know, from an early part of the journey, hey, what does it look just to spend time with God and worship? And then really started reading my Bible. Went on a great youth trip. There was a hilarious speaker. You guys may have heard this guy before, named David Nasser. He's Iranian. His family escaped Iran, back in the late 70s before things really got crazy over there. But it was a week-long youth retreat, and this guy was talking about, hey, if you really want to know God, you got to know your Bible. So it started me in the process of reading the Bible. And then I think the third element of that is there were some other good guys that I was doing life with, and we got to run the race together. Just like, you know, we're doing here in this room, we get to run the race together. So, you know, when I was thinking about this over the last 22 years of my walk with Jesus, there's three things that have contributed to my growth more than anything. And I think they're universal principles that are broadly applicable to all of us. But number one was just worship and learning how to be in the presence of God and react accordingly. I'm reading a great book right now, a little small read, but The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, this little monk from the 1600s, sort of a nondescript guy. He was like the dishwasher in the monastery, no important gigs. You know, he didn't have a big title, but he really learned how to host the presence of God well. It's a great little read. It's short. It's brief. But, you know, thinking about it, like, it just, number one, worshiping God, learning how to seek his presence and learning how to respond correctly to that. Number two, consistently being in the scriptures, right? So that's probably the second, you know, element of the God, you know, ingredients on the recipe card. And then thirdly, spending time with men who God had strategically positioned in my life to pour into me. I have been disproportionately blessed by just a number of men who've taken an interest in my life. My dad wasn't the spiritual leader that I wish he could have been, but God brought along some surrogate fathers. So, you know, going back through that, I think about worship. You know, Psalm 34a says, taste and see that the Lord is good and blesses the one who takes refuge in him. It doesn't say study and know. It says taste and see. You know, God is passionate about us experiencing the depths of his love. And I'm thinking about this as a young father. I can tell my kids, I tell my son all the time, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he's ultimately saying, oh, Dad, I've heard you say that. He wants me to show him, right? So, you know, especially just as a young parent, I'm realizing, hey, I can tell my kids all day long that I love them, but they want to see it, they want to feel it, they want to experience it. It's not an academic issue. Yeah. And I think worship is the same. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The time in the Bible, you know, Psalm 119:105. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, Hebrews 4:12, you know, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. So, you know, realizing I've got to be in this word. And I love, you know, Alex's story and Dorian's story about getting to the chronological Bible. And, you know, it's shaped me more than anything. But lastly, these surrogate fathers, starting with Ernie Forrester, who helped me find Jesus at 14, when we're all incredibly lost and impressionable. And then followed by this crazy cat, Marty Barrett, who, you know, I kind of got going in the Lord and spiritual disciplines, and I'm a type A guy. Give me something to do. I want to do it. But really, I had sort of a pharisaical approach to interacting with God because I didn't know anything different. Hey, I was passionate. I was fired up. I'm passing out tracts at school. I wore a t-shirt that says Satan is a nerd to high school. That gets you a lot of friends, by the way. But all I say, fired up and passionate, but then I finally got dry. You know, it's kind of like the spiritual disciplines turned into, you know, dust in my mouth, and I ran into this guy that had such a vibrant relationship with the Lord. I said, Marty, what's the difference? He's like, oh, you got to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit. And so that was the next chapter of my journey. But all that to say, through that process of being mentored by these men and having people pour into my life and model for me what the walk looked like, what I realized is that Jesus is really a person who wants an intimate relationship with me.
Yeah. All right, so you grow into manhood.
Yep.
You have this business, very successful. God has graced you in a tremendous way. But you are using that avenue of the workplace to be an avenue of ministry.
That's right.
You have been discipling
someone at work. How about taking a moment before we talk about next steps with the men?
Yeah.
Tell them about that.
Absolutely. Well, as I've been poured into and I'm realizing the impact that had on my life, at some point I felt like it's time for me, you know, God kind of gave me a visual. Hey, it's time to pour your cup out. You've had your cup vertical receiving for a long time. It's time for you to pour this out and help other people take a sip of what you've been the recipient of. And so I had a couple men at my work who really have gone headlong into sort of a life-on-life discipleship model and have been discipled. And I wound up spending about 2 years walking with a gentleman at work who we met, you know, weekly or every other week for breakfast, same time, same place.
Now, is he on your team?
Yes, this is just a colleague of mine at work,
right.
Greg Mayfield, great, great brother in the Lord. And so anyway, you know, I was in a receiving seat, and then he started asking me, he goes, so who's God laying on your heart to go pour your life into? I'm like, I don't know. There's no one around, right? So anyway, he patiently and persistently said, hey, who's God highlighting to you? Like, who should you spend some time with? And what that ultimately has morphed into is the last 2 years, there's been two of my work colleagues that I've gotten a chance to spend quite a bit of concentrated time with and really going deep. And I know we threw a little visual there on the table, and I'm realizing as I've studied this more and more, Jesus's model was to go deep with a few people. He ministered to thousands, but he went really deep with a few. And that's a little contrary to our, you know, a lot of times we think about modern growth strategy and how to want to go for it. But Jesus went deep with a few. And he spent a disproportionate amount of his very short time here on earth going very, very deep with a very select group of people. And it doesn't seem, you know, on the surface like that's going to be the most effective way to change the world around you. But it was an upside down thought from, you know, a guy that had eternal perspective. So anyway, I've been privileged to spend time with these guys. One of them has made a decision for the Lord, and we're walking that out and just spending time over breakfast reading the Bible consistently. The other guy has really been, you know, seeking and exploring it for a while, and as of late, you know, he's pretty close to making a decision for Christ. So it's been amazing to see how God has brought some fruit out of that time with those guys.
Absolutely. So guys, the email I sent out yesterday, the heading, Lasting Legacy. You know, it tells us in the book of Revelation that their works follow them. Personalize that. You know, we're always asked to do stuff. To serve here, to serve there, that sort of thing. But this thing of knowing how to walk in intimacy with Christ. The Apostle Paul, he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and Timothy's his protege. So he's given Timothy some advice. And by the way, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote. Okay? So Paul said this, and the things which you have heard me say, entrust the same to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the literally thousands of men in Atlanta, how are they going to be impacted in this life-transforming way? Well, you can grow by addition. I mean, at best, I mean, you may influence 20, 25 guys. But if you teach a guy how to fish, then we move from addition to exponential growth. And guys, this has been on my heart since day one of over 40 years in vocational ministry as a product of Southwestern Seminary. So Timothy kept it going. And shortly after that, Paul is martyred for his faith in Christ. So before Brandon talks to us about next steps, you may be wondering, well, what became of Timothy? Timothy went on to pastor in Ephesus. I mean, his life was a reflection and a parallel of the Apostle Paul. Obviously, Paul walks us to see with the Lord. Did y'all know that church history, tradition tells us that toward the end of the first century, Timothy in Ephesus was pastoring, and under the reign, as I understand, and this comes through Fox's Book of Martyrs, he stood for Christ. He took the risk. And the goddess Diana, there was, people idolized. You know, they're just going after this goddess. And Timothy just sees that as apostasy. And he could not keep quiet. It's like Al Mohler's book, We Cannot Keep Silent. Guys, now's the time we got to say something. And Timothy said something. He rebuked them for their idolatry and their apostasy. And don't you know that resulted in Timothy being stoned to death? Probably didn't tell you anything you didn't know. But isn't it interesting, the parallel in terms of Paul's walk and Timothy's walk? So with that, as you lean in, hey, you know, I'm kind of liking what I'm hearing, but what are the next steps? So, Brandon, for our time remaining?
Yes, absolutely.
Unpack that.
One of the guys that had poured into me said, Brandon, God's looking for men who can be characterized by the acronym FAT. And I was like, what do you mean by this? Coming from a kid that was a little bit overweight, I'm like, I don't know if I like that. He said, FAT, faithful, number one. God's looking for men who are faithful. Will they follow through? Will they be there? Will they go the distance? He said, number two, he's looking for men who are available. You know, can you be available to God? Or are you going to be so busy doing your own thing that you miss out on what he's trying to do through you? And then lastly, are you teachable? Can you be taught? We all need to be taught. Jesus went with the boys. He said, drop your nets and follow me. Didn't tell them where they were going. That would have frustrated me. I don't know if you guys are strategic, like to know where you're going, set the destination before you get there. He said, no, be faithful, available, teachable, drop your nets and follow me. And so the thought hit me, and I shared this with Mike, what could apostles look like and what could the city of Atlanta look like a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if 100 men were walking intimately with Jesus and they were actively involved in helping other men do the same? And then that group of men did the same. You know, Mike, I was thinking about this. Remember early on when the pandemic hit, there was an animated visual that you saw of like one person, one black dot and a bunch of dots that represented like one case of COVID, and it kind of bounced around and it showed, it was trying to, you know, show us the impact of, hey, if we'll socially distance and stay home for a minute. But the key was, is this one dot just kind of spread all over the screen, and all of a sudden in like 3 seconds, the whole screen, you know, had all the dots. But the thought was, from a spiritual context, what could it look like here in Atlanta if we did the same? And it brought to mind a quote from the great revivalist John Wesley. Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, i.e. 100 men walking intimately with Jesus. And I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. You know, I think sometimes we get a little caught up and, hey, we need 1,000 people to show up the same. No. We need a couple faithful people who will then go pour it into others. So with this idea of helping men walk intimately with Jesus and helping facilitate part of that process, which is a Paul-Timothy relationship, what we would love to do is invite the men in this room to step into that and to step up and to start pouring their lives into others. We've got a mature group of believers here. And last time I checked, the city's desperate for more guys just like you. And ultimately what that would mean, there's some cards there on the table, and if you have any, you know, intentional interest in this, we'd love to, you know, capture that on one of those cards. But the idea is that we would want to help pair you up with someone who is wanting to receive and wanting to be poured into and mentored. And what that could look like is, you know, our hope would be, is that that could set off a 12-month period of intentional time where you get to spend time with that individual, pouring your life into them. Whatever you got, where you are, give them that. And the idea would be is hopefully spending about 2 times per month with this individual on your timeline, whatever that looks like. Breakfast, lunch, coffee, dinner, hang out, you know, play tennis, have a round of golf, whatever it is. But you'd spend time with this person, getting to know them, praying with them, pouring into them, and reading the scriptures with them. And we want to set up a time of equipping for anyone that's interested in doing that formally. But set up a time of equipping and really giving you some resources that could help facilitate that process of pouring your life into the life of another man and laying out there what Jesus has given you to share. But all that to say, you know, ultimately that is our vision, is helping men in this church walk intimately with Jesus, pour that into others and help them do the same and evaluate what this city can look like in a short period of time, seeing 100 guys get passionate for the Lord and sharing it.
All right. So your next step, and I have taken from Dr. Youssef's previous series, Embracing God's Mission for Life. So you see those cards on the table. Now, what I would love for you to do, and by the way, I'm going to be personally following up with you. I'm not a guy that's just about emails and text. I do the phone. I love to have conversations. So this may result in a lunch with you or whatever. But by you saying or writing on that card your name, contact information, mentor or mentee, you're not committing. What you are saying, I'd like to know a little bit more. And this is going to result in a gathering where there is both equipping, resourcing, and preparing you to mentor well. Or if you think, I'm not ready to be a mentor, but I sure would love to walk with another guy, I will be a resource to you to find a mentor that is well suited to you and you and he to you. Make sense? So guys, this is a for life kind of thing. And y'all been patient to hear the stories, the transformation. And guys, all I can tell you, if you really want the ride of a lifetime, be all in for Christ. Everything else dulls in comparison. But I want you to know how much Steve Peterson, Zach, TJ, me, these guys who have shared, table leaders, did you know we have mentors already a part of the hub, our table leaders? And for those of you who are leading the table, Chris, Dorian, Chip, and on the list goes. Alex is leading the table. I somehow think, gosh, what could the hub look like? And I'm not into the numbers thing. You know, I'm a Southern Baptist, and that can get us at times. But in terms of critical mass, a chance for us to gather in this room and pray mighty prayers for God, following Steve's lesson. This room can hold upwards of 100. And you know, the hub is growing. Last week, 66 guys, either in person or online, or the week before. Yeah. Tremendous, tremendous times. So I know you have your questions, and we want to provide a gathering in the near future where we are going to walk with you, again, equipping, resourcing, and preparing you to do well as a mentor. Make sense, guys? Okay. So please take a moment before you leave if you have any interest in wanting to know about next steps or want to be a part of this movement. Your name, number, I will follow up with you. Okay.
On Zoom.
So, Alex, go ahead, man.
I don't have an answer, but I was just going to ask for Zoom, Mike. How, if they're interested, how would they fill out their virtual card?
That is a great question. I will be sending an email out to all the guys in the distribution list. So those who do not have the card in hand, I will ask them to reply. Okay.
Great, thanks.
You're the mentor now, man. Helpful, guys. Inspiring? Yeah. Yeah.